Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. In the last couple of posts, we've been pursuing the message of the gospel. And today we're going to be talking about the gospel, but the blood of Jesus that makes it a good news issue. And as we look at the issue of the blood of Jesus, we have to be sure that we're not talking about traditions and practices founded in many churches and denominations. In the last post, we looked at the cross as a reality and also a symbol of God's great love for us. It's so amazing that the Lord would give his beloved Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In the same way, the blood of Jesus is also a reality and a symbol of something that I think many Christians miss, and that something is the new covenant. Here's a powerful scripture. Jesus said this in Matthew 26:28. And he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." As believers and followers of Jesus, we are graced by a new covenant purchased through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Both the cross and the blood has forever transformed our relationship with the Lord. The evidence of that new relationship is the fact that we have a new covenant. This new covenant that we're talking about is an unconditional covenant of grace established between Jesus and the Father and extended to anyone who would put their faith and trust in Jesus alone. The beauty of this covenant is that although we may fail, the covenant cannot fail, because neither the Lord nor Jesus can fail, and they are both heads of this covenant. Because of the new covenant, the old covenant of the law no longer applies to us. No longer is our heavenly relationship based upon obeying legalistic rules and regulations. But the focus on our relationship with our Heavenly Father is based upon what Jesus Christ, listen to this, has done for us. The shedding of blood is a characteristic of all covenant relationships with the Lord. Even under the covenant of the law, or it might be known as the Mosaic Law or the Torah, blood was essential to make atonement. Therefore, it says in Leviticus 17, verse 1, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And then again in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 22, the scripture states, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness." Under the old covenant, the blood of animals was shed to cover sin and renew relationship with God. But in the new covenant, as it was accurately described by John the Baptist, he said in John 1, verse 29, "John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" You see, Jesus is the Lamb who became the sacrifice once and for all of us. To fully understand the significance of the new covenant, I want to take something from my book about grace and the new covenant. The title of the book is Seeing the Forest for the Trees, which, by the way, it's available as a free download on my website. But in chapter 21, I'm going to extract some things that I really think would be important for us to understand. Now, I'm not going to cite all of the supporting scriptures, but you can find that in the document that you are able to download from, again, from my website. So here we go. Grace is an attribute of God that is foreign to our natural experience. Because God's grace is perfectly selfless and motivated by love. The trials and tribulations of life can make us wary of expressions of perfect love. Let's face it, sometimes we don't know how to react or respond to this expression of grace. Number one, some people feel unworthy of God's grace and try to deny it or run away and hide from God. Number two, others try to understand God's grace by attempting to intellectually comprehend him. The result is often a very small concept of who God is. 3, still others try to earn the right to deserve God's grace by being good. But the truth is, who can ever be good enough? And finally, 4, there are those who set up rules and regulations and make legalistic sacrifices so that they might try to earn God's grace. But a gift cannot be earned. You see, God's grace is an unconditional promise. There are no strings attached. It's His free will gift motivated by pure love for us. Remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, that was John 3:16. The availability of this kind of grace depends entirely on the one who offers it. God offers His grace to all of mankind, the whole world, the just and the unjust. Grace is not offered on the basis of merit or deeds, but only upon God's divine decision and invitation to love and bless His creation. You see, we can't gain salvation or eternal life by our works or by the law, or by a combination of works and law. It is by grace alone that we receive eternal life and salvation. Jesus did it all for us. The only thing that we can do is to put our faith, our belief and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. The scripture says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That was Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. There is nothing and no one who can add to or replace what Jesus has already done and provided through the cross and through His shed blood. As been stated, the new covenant was ushered in by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and of course His shed blood for the new covenant. The scripture says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, 'It is finished.' Bowing His head, He gave up His spirit." John 19:30. Jesus fully completed what He was sent to earth to do. And as a result of His work, He accomplished the following for each of us. 1, He replaced the old covenant of the law with a new covenant of grace. The scripture says, in that He says, a new covenant He has made, the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Hebrews 8:13. 2, He provided a way to the Father who is holy and righteous. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." That's John 14:6. 3, Jesus cleansed us from our sins. You see, sin is what kept us apart from God the Father. The scripture again is if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. 4, He's prepared an eternal place in heaven for us. Jesus says, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." That's John 14:2. 5, Jesus exchanged our old sinful nature for a new nature able to resist sin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 6, He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to live for Christ. Nevertheless, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." That was John 16, verse 7. And then 7, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. The scriptures say that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That was 1 John 3:8. What Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary in obedience to the Father was something totally new. He guaranteed salvation to all who would put their trust in him. He also gave the Holy Spirit to every believer as a sign or a seal of being born again. You see, the Holy Spirit makes it possible for a believer to live the life they're called to by God. The Holy Spirit gives power and help for a believer both to be willing and obedient. It's the person of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference in the life of a new covenant believer. The Holy Spirit is also given as a guarantee of God's full redemption of our lives. Spirit, soul, and body. Those who believe in Christ for salvation can be assured of that salvation and live with great boldness and faith. We can know that we are empowered to live the life here on earth and that we have a place reserved for us in heaven. The beauty of the new covenant is that there's no condemnation. You see, sin always has consequences. Sin always places an obstacle in our relationship with God. A significant change between the law and grace is that the condemnation for sin has been removed by the work of Jesus' shed blood. When we as believers stumble and sin, we are not cast away or rejected by God. You see, we're still sons and daughters. The scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Jesus' shed blood has made us holy and righteous. But obedience is a process that will continue throughout our lives. As an example, when children are learning to walk, they often stumble and fall. And as parents, we don't reject or abandon our children because they fall down. In the same way, God will not abandon you if you fall as you are learning to walk with him. You see, the Lord's expectation is that you repent, learn from the experience, and try to do better. Grace is a wonderful gift from God. It's never an excuse to live a fleshly or carnal life or to ignore the teachings of Scripture. Our goal should always be to do the best to live in a manner that is obedient and pleasing to God. We may fall into a pit along the way, but we should not return or stay in that sinful pit, because the Lord has given us a way out. The Lord expects us to mature as Christians as we learn and grow in the Word of God and mature in following Christ. We should no longer be stumbling or falling into temptation or sin. The Scripture says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. You see, immature children may stumble. However, the things that we stumble over in our immaturity should not still cause us to stumble when we're more mature. Now, as a Christian, if we sin, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. We will feel a godly sorrow and a need to repent. If instead we feel like running away from God and trying to hide our sin, that's what's called worldly sorrow and leads only to shame, guilt, and condemnation. The Scripture clearly tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, that was that was 1 John 1:9. Our confession and genuine repentance is the process to receive God's forgiveness when we stumble. When we repent, and that simply means to turn around, go in a new direction, and ask God to forgive us, three things happen. Number one, we face our sin and take responsibility for it. No excuses. Two, the feeling of guilt, shame, or fear are removed as we confess our sin to God. And three, our open relationship with God can continue, and the sin no longer creates a sense of separation from Him. Repentance has the added benefit of helping us to admit our weaknesses to ourselves and to ask God for help. This will teach us to ask for God's help and to rely on the Holy Spirit for strength to avoid that sin in the future. Now, I know some people struggle with the idea of grace. And if you have any ideas about what grace is or what it's not, and these ideas are contrary to what is in God's Word, then you have to abandon those ideas. Embrace God's Word. Embrace His grace. The Scripture, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:14 and also verse 17. And so embrace what was accomplished at the cross and embrace the blood that was shed for you and I. The cross provided for our forgiveness. His death and the shedding of every last drop of blood was provided for the new covenant in which we stand. Don't go back to the old, but walk in newness of life, in newness of grace, in newness of every provision being made by Jesus for you and for me. I hope this message encourages you and strengthens you in your walk with the Lord, so that you would see and understand clearly the significance of the blood of Jesus Christ. I look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you until then. And again, if you want the detailed scriptures and the scripture quotations, I'd encourage you to download the notes for this message. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.